My subject tonight is longing for heaven, longing for heaven. This life is not the only life. There is a life to come. We all know that. We all know that when we die, that's not the end. There is a life to come. Our text tonight is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 16. This beautiful picture of those of old. It says in verse 16, "But now they," that's speaking of many that have gone before us, "they desire a better country, that is an heavenly country." Well, the book of Hebrews, we don't know exactly for sure who the author is. It probably was Paul, but maybe not. It was written to Jewish believers. Hebrews, that's why it's called Hebrews. And there were many who had to flee in persecution. These Jewish believers, they'd come under enormous strain and persecution in the second half of the first century, and so they'd had to escape. But really, this book is about those who were wavering. They had left all the rituals and the ceremonies and the legalism and the Pharisaical approaches to life. The tick, tick, tick list of religion. Religion's not a tick list. It's not about do, do, do. It's about the heart and being right with God. But there were those who were going back and thinking, loving the Lord God, living for God, seeking to have a heart for Him, and the tremendous cost that was to go with it for those who were being persecuted for their faith. And they thought to themselves, let's go back. It's so much easier to have a piece of paper and to tick down the list each day. Do, do, do. But that's not the heart of the gospel. The gospel is about what we are and what we become and what we desire in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's one word that describes and sums up the whole of this book, it would be the word better. And it's here in our text this evening. But now they desire a better country. Do you desire something better? People sometimes desire a better car. The car keeps being unreliable. I need a better one. It's only got 5 gears. I need 6. I desire better clothing. I'm looking a bit shabby. I want better. Well, the writer to the Hebrews, he goes through different arguments. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ is much better than Moses. Of course he is. Christ made Moses. He created him. And so we must come to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to people. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ is much better than all the blood and all the animals laid on altars and all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. For Christ died once. Once he's died, there's no more need for any more blood, because Christ has shed his blood. Christ has given his life. He's been the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Christ is better, better than all that old religion of the Old Testament that was just like the highway code, just a set of road signs pointing to Christ. Oh, Christ is much better than Moses, much better than the sacrifices. And he's much better than the law. You try to think you can go to heaven through keeping the law of God, God's laws, the 10 laws, the 600 laws, the whole law of the Word of God. God's law was not given so that we can keep it. God's law was given to convert the soul, to show us our need of a Savior, to show us that we cannot keep God's law. It was my schoolmaster to show me that in every single step I break God's law. None of us are any different. We've all broken and fallen short of God's law. No, better is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole argument of the book of Hebrews in one summary. But as we come to chapter 11, this is the great chapter of faith. It's called the gallery. It's like going to the National Gallery. Portraits of all those that have gone before us, the great heroes of the faith. And it says in verse 1, what is faith? Faith? Do you have faith tonight? Not do, but faith. Now faith, and there's 2 words that are important in this verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not some vague, wishy-washy hope, but the substance. It's solid. It's got bricks in it. It's got concrete in it. It's certain. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was speaking to a man in Bedford Town Centre yesterday, and he could see that we were giving Bibles and tracts and selling good books, and he said, oh, don't worry, I'm one of you. And I said, oh, what do you mean by that? And he says, I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm one of you. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, what do you mean, sorry? I said, to be a Christian is not to try. To be a Christian is to repent. And it's to have faith that's given us by God to repent. And he walked away. He didn't want to know any more. Because he was trying and trying and trying and thought that it was difficult and hard going, and he was right. It is, you try to get to heaven that way, you'll never get there. Because it's not about trying. Faith is the substance, the solidity of things hoped for, the evidence, the sure, certain evidence of things not seen. It's not trying. It's not an empty hope. It's a certain, solid assurance of what Christ has done. Not what I've done. What Christ has done. And faith puts its confidence in Christ. It doesn't try. It doesn't work it up. It doesn't try to meet the standard. No, it looks to the solidity and the evidence of what Christ has done. Look at verse 3. Is an illustration that the writer makes. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How was the world made? None of us were there. I don't think so. None of us were there all those years ago. How do we know how the world was made? Well, it tells us here. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. They were made. They were created. They were designed. How? By the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says God created the world by His Word. Let there be light. And there was light. We weren't there. But we know because God's word tells us, and therefore we can rely on it. When we look at the world, we see it's designed, we see it's ordered, we see it's intelligent, we see beauty, we see the evidence of a designer. And so when we come to read the word of God, like verse 3 of chapter 11, through faith, is it difficult? Not really. Because the evidence, the substance, is all there. We look at the human hand. Somebody's going to speak on it next Friday, an eminent professor. He will explain the design of the hand. How does my hand move? Just at the impulse of brain cells. How remarkable. How extraordinary. The signature of God. And because of the evidence, because of what the word of God says, we believe. Is it an empty belief? No. We've got substance. We've got evidence that makes us believe it, and it's not so difficult because it's the only explanation, really. When you look at the alternative, a big bang, billions of years, you go and look at Ukraine tonight. Everywhere there's a big bang. You tell me if there's order or if there's chaos, whether there's beauty, whether there's design, of course there's not. Every big bang there's ever been has led to disaster, chaos, disorder, a lack of beauty. And so when we read this, I don't need much faith. I read the word of God. And it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were designed and framed by just the word of God speaking, so that things which are seen, the world, were not made of things which do appear. They weren't made out of big bangs and other things like that. They were made by something that wasn't seen. God and his word. That's the plain reading of God's word. You can't read it any other way. Well, let's come to our text tonight in verse 16. The rest of the chapter between those words that we've read and verse 16 is the gallery, the portraits, the pictures of those that believed. Do you know, in so many ways, it was much, much harder for Abraham and Isaac and Gideon and Samson and Noah and all those people in time past. They didn't have the Bible. Christ hadn't come. Christ hadn't taught. He hadn't done thousands of miracles. He hadn't risen from the dead. And yet Abraham believed. Can you believe? Of course you can. You've got even more evidence, even more substance than these worthies that have gone before us. Let me just explain three words about Abraham's faith. The first word we can draw from verse 8. This is a picture. These are the words that explain how Abraham, before Christ, became a Christian. Perhaps this will stick in your mind tonight. Three words. What did Abraham do? They each begin with the letter L. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out. Abraham left. Abraham, his faith caused him to leave. God was calling him. Abraham heard that call. Get out. Leave your city, leave your idols, leave your family, your friends, your wealth. Leave. That's the first call of faith. Leave. That's what the Lord calls us to do. Leave one country, this world, everything that's in it, all that it stands for, leave. That's the call tonight. That's what I said to that man yesterday. Repent. That's what leave means. Leave your sins behind. Turn around, leave, and go to a better country. By faith. The second word we can draw from verse 10. What did he do? He left. And verse 10, he looked. How could he leave? He could only leave the city by looking to another city. For he looked for a city. Not one made with bricks and concrete, but one whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for heaven. He was looking into the spiritual realm. He was saying, I don't need this life. I don't need my possessions. I don't need idols. I need to look up. I need to look to heaven. I need to long for heaven. So he left and he looked. And then in verse 13, we can draw a third L. These all died in faith, speaking of Abraham and Sarah, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. He left, he looked, and he loved the promises of God. How did he leave? How did he look? Because God gave him promises, and he loved them. He trusted them. The promises of God that say, come unto me, all you that weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The promises that say, if you leave everything behind that you once considered worthwhile, I'll give you something much more precious than silver and gold. I'll give you a new heart, a new life, a friend in heaven, one that can be your home forever. So he left, he looked, and he loved. That's the gospel in three words. That's what Abraham did. So when we come to our text tonight, just our first heading, very briefly, we need a desire to leave. That's the summary in verse 16. But now they, all these people, they desired to leave. We have an illustration that's so very tender. 1 million people wanting to leave their home, leave their country, the country that they love. But that the country that they don't love tonight, because they need something else. Do you know the whole history of the Word of God is about people leaving? Adam and Eve, they had to leave the Garden of Eden. They were pushed out. Jacob had to leave in fear of his life. He needed to seek a better life. The Israelites had to leave Egypt, where they were being oppressed by a cruel dictator. Does that sound familiar? They had to leave. They had to get out. And they had to go to a better place. And then we thought of those persecuted in the New Testament age. The whole world, the whole history of the world is about people leaving. I can't stay here any longer. I've got to get out. I've got to leave. And I've got to love the promises of God. Well, let's think of some of the reasons why we might leave. We don't feel secure any longer. We feel an insecurity in this life. I don't belong here. I want to belong. I want to have a home that's secure, and I don't feel secure in this life anymore. That's what they felt. I don't want to be under the cruel ruler of this earth, Satan, who rules so many lives and ruins them with his lies and his cruelty. I don't want to be under the inconsistent standards of this world that thinks it can say one thing and then contradict itself just a few days later. I don't want to be ruled that way anymore. I don't want its sinful pleasures. I don't want its celebrities and idols and the football stars that are worshipped like idols. I don't need that anymore. I don't want to be a citizen of this earth. I don't belong. I don't even like its health service. The health service that only focuses on the body and has no thought for my soul. No thought for my inner self. And I don't like the impact that this country has upon its citizens, bringing them down, down, down. And so the people said, I want to leave. I want to get out. And they had a desire for a better country. They wanted security. That's what Christ offers and gives us. I know the letter of 1 John. If you want to know about certainties, just read through that letter. I know, I know, I know, says the Christian. That's what we have. We can speak of Christ who's died and a place in heaven, and we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And of course, we want to be ruled by him. He doesn't rule with tanks. He doesn't rule with guns. He doesn't stop us communicating. He rules in love. He rules with compassion and grace and mercy. That's his rules. These people desired to be ruled by him. And they desired godly joys and pleasures, not sinful lusts. These people, they didn't want that anymore. And they loved his people, the new people, the people who are citizens of heaven. And they loved the worship of heaven. They saw God who must be worshipped. And these people said, I'll make an altar in my heart. And I'll worship him every day. And I'll bow down and worship him in spirit and in truth. And these people love the health service of heaven. Do you know the health service of heaven? That cares more for your soul than for your body. Your body will die. It will get diseased. It will get wrinkled. We've got many here tonight that can show the wrinkles. But there's no wrinkles in the soul when the Lord loves your soul. And when your soul has been made new, because Christ has cared for your soul, not just your body. And look at the impact of this better country upon the lives of its citizens, lifting them up. This world pushes us down, down, down. And the Lord comes to a soul in the gutter. The gutter of life, by the choices that I've made. And he lifts us up, and he puts us in heavenly places, and he gives us a new nature, a nature that's improving, not getting worse. All these people, they desired to leave, and they desired a better country, and they had within their hearts a longing for heaven. Do you know tonight, if you love God, you will have a longing for heaven. You will say, what does it matter if I get sick? What does it matter if I lose my home? What does it matter if I lose my husband and my wife and my children? Because I desire a better country. I'm a citizen of heaven. That's where I belong. That's where my real home is. He says, verse 13, they confessed that they were strangers. Are you a stranger tonight? You're a foreigner. You don't belong in this country. You belong in heaven. You're a pilgrim. You're just traveling through. You're just making a few stepping stones across your 70, 80 years. Each one of them is a step nearer to your heavenly home, because that's where you belong. Am I speaking to somebody tonight? And up until now, you've been trying to make this life, this land, your home. You'll never be at home here. You need a heavenly home. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. That's what every Christian says. My home is in heaven. My home is not here. Can you say that tonight? If you can, you're a child of God. And you need to tell people. You need to make it known. You need to say, I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't belong here. I'm a pilgrim passing through. Because this is what verse 16 says. God is not ashamed of you. He is your God. And he will call himself your God, your Savior, your friend. And he's prepared for you a city which is in heaven. But I need to tell you one more thing. How do I get to heaven from Bedford tonight? How can I get there? It starts with an overwhelming desire. Do you have a desire within your heart? If you're just sat there tonight waiting for God, waiting for something to happen in the sky, it will never happen. You need to have a desire in your heart. You need to have a desire for heaven. A desire for a better country. You need to say, I don't like this life. I don't like my sin. I don't like my possessions. They're nothing. I want to be a citizen of heaven. I want to be with him. For to be with Christ is much, much better. Do you have that desire? That desire for him to be your ruler? Your God and his rule of love to rule over you. Secondly, upon desire, you need to put faith. You see the promises of God. The same promise that Abraham had to leave and to look to God and to another country. But you need to exercise faith. Yes. You will only do that if God enables you by the work of his Holy Spirit. But as he enables you, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Use the muscles that he's given you and tense them and trust the promises of God. Just as Abraham did, he had to use his legs and his feet. He had to get up. He had to leave, and he did it. You need to have a desire. You need to exercise faith in the promises of God. But you need to leave. Leave it all behind. It's worthless. What is there in this life that would hold you? What is there that would stop you for saying, I want a home in heaven. I don't belong here. I desire a better country. Can you say that tonight? But now, they desire in their heart a better country. That is an heavenly. The desire, the leaving, and the exercising in faith that the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood will cover me. His blood will cleanse me. His perfect life is better than my life will ever be. And He died in my place, as we thought this morning, as my substitute. I couldn't live a perfect life, but He lived a perfect life for me. And all I have to do is look, and live, and come to Him, and desire Him, and love Him this very night. Let's pray together. Our gracious eternal God, we thank Thee for these heroes of faith, for they model the very faith that we need this night, that faith that longs for a better country, and that faith that leaves this world and all the empty pleasures and the false promises that it gives us, and puts its trust in Jesus Christ and in His death and in His word. Oh, help tonight there to be many new citizens of heaven, for there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents this night. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.